This is Talk to Me with Gary C. Gary's guest today is comedian Gilbert Gottfried.
Gilbert Gottfried is the comedian with the instantly recognizable voice, the voice of Iago, the parrot in Aladdin, the Aflac duck. He was the voice of Jared Kushner recently, last week with John Oliver, which was very funny. He's the subject of a brand new documentary called Gilbert. He's been a stand-up comedian for a long time. We're backstage at the Buckhill Brewery in Blairstown, New Jersey. Gilbert Gottfried is my guest on Talk to Me. Do you get to Blairstown, New Jersey often?
Oh, yes, it's a home away from home. Sometimes I come here just to go sightseeing. You know, I had a choice this summer to go to either Paris or Blairstown, New Jersey. And, well, I mean, what? I've seen the Eiffel Tower in pictures. Who needs that?
Hey, is it more important for a stand-up comedian to be popular or to be original?
I'm neither one. People don't like me, and most of my jokes I stole from Stiller and Mira.
Did you grow up in Brooklyn?
Yes.
What did your father do for a living?
My father owned a hardware store in Coney Island, in a not busy section of Coney Island. We lived upstairs. The family lived upstairs from the hardware store.
Did you work for him?
No, I never. A couple of times he'd bring me to work with him, and I was of no use.
Were you going to open mic nights as young as 15 years old?
Oh, yeah. First time I got up on a stage, I was 15. I forget which club. But someone had told my sister that there was some place you wrote your name down in the book, and when they got to it, they called your name, and you walked up on stage.
Did you play Pips?
Yeah. I played Pips a number of times, and the first time that I played Pips as a headliner, my opening act was Andrew Dice Clay, before he was the Dice Man.
Were you taking the subway into Manhattan to do open mic nights at age 15 in 1970?
Yes.
How did your parents feel about it?
Oh, God, I'm sure they were not thrilled. And the funny thing is, now when I look at it, it's like I feel like stupidity was what got me into the business and kept me there. And it's like when you get older, you get a little more rational about things. And now I think in terms of, going into show business, the odds against it are insane. And this thing of like, and I was speed traveling the subway at all hours of the night. And especially like when I would do the improv, which was 44th and 9th in Times Square. When that was the worst area. I mean, that was, now it's turned into Disneyland, but boy, back then. And how I was never shot any of those times, I can't believe it.
Who else was coming up at about that time?
Oh, God, it's so hard to know, like, because I've been kicking around so long that, but, I mean, other people I remember seeing at the clubs all the time, all the different time periods. Well, Larry David was there, and Bill Maher, Jerry Seinfeld, Paul Reiser. There was Keenan Ivory Wayans.
Who was the Polarizer?
The what?
The Polarizer?
The Polarizer?
Paul Reiser. I thought it was a professional wrestler.
Yeah, the Polarizer. He was, he would wear a leotard and jump into the ring. He was the Polarizer. Yeah.
Did you grow up watching Officer Joe Bolton and Chuck McCain and Soupy Sandals and guys like this?
Yeah. And it's funny because I had a chance. I have a podcast, yes. Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast, and I was able to get Chuck McCann on. And I remember him from my childhood. Officer Joe would show the Three Stooges, and Soupy, I got to know a little bit. I'd run into him in circles. And
was Jerry Lewis nice to you when you met him?
I'm happy to say I can use the cliche, well, he was always nice to me. Because that's one of those whenever someone's got a horrible reputation, you know, you go, he was always nice to me. So I'm lucky that way. In fact, I remember backstage at a club, and that's the soda machine running, pumping through a tube. It's so glamorous being in show business. I just can't get over it. What I remember is Jerry Lewis. They were honoring him at the Friars. They were going to name the building after him or whatever. And there was a whole ceremony. And all these people were going up speaking. And Lewis was there, like, basically heckling everyone who spoke. And he was, like, sitting next to me. And what I remember is after each joke, he grabbed my arm, squeeze it, and look at me and laugh. And I thought, wow, he's pulling me in on his craziness. It was great. The other thing I remember about Jerry Lewis was he was once at some event, and I performed. And when I got off stage, he went over to me with that stern look that he would get, like, on the telethons and stuff, which worried me. And he goes, Gilbert, you are out of your mind, and I wouldn't want you any other way. And I thought, what a compliment.
Do you really enjoy doing a roast? Do you get a kick out of that?
Yeah, the roasts are fun. Anytime you can hurt another human being, and they have to smile because it shows you're a good sport.
Is there anybody you won't roast?
No, if they invite me and they pay me and give me a free dinner, I'll be there.
I wanted to ask you this. You went through a thing with the Aflac group. Yeah. You said you sent a tweet and they got rid of you, but when you hire Gilbert, you get Gilbert, right?
It was so funny because it's like, this means that they've never seen me at a roast. They've never seen me on stage. They've never heard me on the Howard Stern show. I remember the best tweet I got around that time. Some guy sent a tweet that said, Aflac fires Gilbert Gottfried after discovering he's a comedian. But they fired me, milked it for all the free press they could get, then hired a new guy to imitate my voice for less money, thus bringing closure to a horrible tragedy.
Didn't Tom Waits sue some company for hiring some guy that sounded like him? Do you remember that story?
Oh, yeah.
Did you think about maybe litigation with it?
I was thinking about it. I never actually went through with it.
Talk to me about Gilbert. What was the genesis of this documentary?
The filmmaker, Neil Berkley, he came up to me and he said, I always dreamt of doing a Gilbert Gottfried documentary. And I said to him, well, you should set your dreams a lot higher than that. And I never wanted to do it. I hated the idea of a documentary. But he started coming to my house and then following me around and traveling out to these clubs I would be performing at. And I just wound up, big film and everything, but I hated it. And I hated what I've hated. I've seen it a few times, you know, these premieres, and I hate watching it. To me, it's like what hell must be like. You know, you die, and then the devil goes, here, you have to look at your life up here. And that sounds like the worst thing.
Now, this guy was in your house. Were there rules? Could he follow you in the bathroom?
Yes. Yeah, well, I invited him along. I'm into that. Yeah, it's gotten good reviews, though, amazingly.
Will it be on the Hulu network?
I have no idea. I know at November 3rd, it'll be playing in New York, and November 10th at selected theaters.
How long have you been doing the podcast, Gilbert?
Oh, God. I think it's been 2 years, maybe. I don't know.
The gentleman who does it with you is a comedy writer?
Yeah.
Got a great voice.
Yeah. And he was one of these people who I had met and who knew, who was like kind of like me, like into the most trivial, unimportant aspects of Hollywood. And so I asked him to be a co-host on it.
Do you make money off that?
It's funny. That's another one of these things, like, if you ask anyone who makes money off a podcast, they'll name about three names each time. And the others, I'm not expecting to buy an island in Fiji of what I'm making on this podcast.
You do some of these in a professional recording studio, don't you?
Yeah, there's a recording studio. We used to do it right in my living and in my dining room there. We'd sit by the dining room table and we'd talk to them over the phone. Every now and then someone would come to the house and we'd interview them.
You must be spending money on this, I would think.
Oh, yeah. It's at least we're at least breaking even on it now.
Is there anybody you've been trying to get who's eluded you?
Oh, God, so many. It's funny. A lot of times we're not able to get to people because, we like old Hollywood. And we've had Dick Van Dyke, Carl Reiner, Norman Lear, Bruce Stern. We've had a few that agreed to do this show and then died. I was originally wanting to call the show the Before It's Too Late Show. And one time we asked Steve Lawrence to be on. And someone said to me, oh, he passed. And I thought, oh, God, that's sad. I used to watch him all the time growing up. I mean, should we send something to his kids? And they said, no, he's busy. He doesn't have time to do the show.
Well, don't ask Olivia de Havilland to do the show. I think she's 100%
in Paris. We want her to be around.
Yeah.
Favorite stand-up comedian of all time?
Oh, God. There's been so many. I don't know if I've had a favorite. I've liked each one. I mean, look, when Henny Youngman used to crack me up all the time. But there's so many. Him, Alan King was really good. A lot of them. And now I can't watch comedy. It's like if you ran a restaurant and then went to another restaurant for dinner, you'd be there going, I would do this differently. And so when you're a comic and you watch other comics, you have a tendency to go, that's clever. Yeah. Yeah, that was sort of witty.
So there's no young guns who impress you, huh?
Yeah. It's my own kind of thing.
Are you always writing new material?
I'm working on a bit about Bonanza. And my Eisenhower imitation is almost there.
We are backstage at the Buckhill Brewery in Blairstown, New Jersey, with the one and only Gilbert Gottfried. You're Jewish and you're playing on Rosh Hashanah. Any guilt at all?
Oh, yeah. I figure I'll go to hell. I've already was going to go to hell. I'm one of those people. Judaism to me is, I was never bar mitzvahed. I don't know when the holidays are or when the important ones are. I like bacon. To me, being Jewish means if the Nazis came back, I'd be on the train with everybody else. So I know I'm a Jew that way.
You love being a father.
It's really odd. It's that Twilight Zone thing. I talk about it in the documentary. And yeah, I guess so. It depends on the time. And it's funny. I remember, and this is interesting about having kids. Until you have kids, you have absolutely no idea of who your parents are and what they were there for. It's like your parents growing up, they're two people, they're out of it. They don't know anything that's going on, and they're just getting in your way. And then when you have a kid, all of a sudden you go, oh, that's what they were doing. Now it all makes sense. And now, when I think in terms of me saying I was going into show business, I can only imagine what was going on in their heads. Because, you know, to me now, rather than show business, if my kids were to say to me, well, we're going to be picking up cans and bottles out of the trash and turning it in for a 5-cent deposit, and we'll live off that, I'd go, okay, well, that makes sense. You know, show business doesn't make sense. But I remember one story when my son was in preschool. We spoke to the teacher, and the teacher said, well, he doesn't pay attention in school, and he's always trying to be funny. And I thought, yeah, I'm going to have to put my foot down here. Yeah, I don't know where he gets that from. I mean, and so she asked him, she said, where did you learn how to be funny? And he said, from my daddy. And then she goes, oh, your daddy's funny? And he goes, he's funny at home, not at work.
Gilbert Gottfried, backstage at the Buck Hill Brewery. You were born February 28th, 1955. I was born February 28th, 1959. When you tell people February 28th, they always go, oh, is it a leap year? But it was.
Yeah, it wasn't a leap year. Yeah.
If your parents had hung on for just one more year, you might have been a leapling.
Yeah, I would have been a lot younger now. Yes.
Thanks so much for doing this. I appreciate
it. Thank you. And the documentary's Gilbert. It'll come out in New York on the 3rd. And selected theaters on the 10th, and it will be, and my podcast is Gilbert Gottfried's Amazing Colossal Podcast.
That's on your website?
Oh, yeah, and my website's gilbertgottfried.com, and my Twitter is @RealGilbert.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you.